Blog Talk Radio.
Church boy!
This don't make no sense, Sean.
Hey.
I hope I bring you glory on this one, Father. Help me now.
And welcome to Woman to Woman. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. I want to welcome my guest, 879, and also my daughter, Dana Neal, also guest, 888, into the chat room. And all of you who are listening by way of phone or chat, I want to welcome you to the broadcast. My daughter over in Chicago, Erica Anderson, God bless you. Welcome to Woman to Woman. Well, today we have an exciting time lined up. I'm going to be talking about teaching, actually, from a workshop that I presented last week at the Women's Conference, part of a workshop entitled Put a Ring on It. Put a Ring on It. And I will be sharing 12 ways to get the right one to say I do. Amen. We want the right one. We don't want just anyone. We're not desperate. Amen. He is not your last chance. Amen. But we want the right one. We want the one that God has for us. Women of God, we want the man that God has for us. Too many times we have settled for less. Amen. And I'm going to move forward because I only have 1 hour. After I leave here on today, I'll be signing books for those of you in the New Jersey area. I will be signing books over at Crossroads of Life Bookstore in Hillside, New Jersey. So I invite you to come over and get a copy of Nobody's Business or The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living, or get a copy of Pump Up the Power, Get the Life You Want. Amen. All three of these books are powerful. Amen. And I have a new book coming out. I will be releasing the title next month in November. And prayerfully, I will be launching my new book before the end of the year. Amen. So pray with me. Pray with me on that. Amen. So I'll be over at Crossroads of Life Bookstore from 2:30 until 4 o'clock p.m. on today. And the address over there is 1567 Maple Avenue in Hillside, New Jersey. So I invite you to come over and join me as I sign copies of these books, amen, these books, these anointed books, amen. There will be other authors there. It is Christian Day, amen. So you will be blessed. You will be blessed by going over there, amen. Whether you're there, whether you have my books or not, they have a lot of sales going on. A couple of CDs for $5 with all of your favorite Christian artists. So it's going to be a great time. I also want to give a shout out to Evan, the show Spalding. Amen. He released his book, The Secret to Getting Him to Propose. And I had Evan on the broadcast last week. Evan is a young man of 22 who has proposed to his childhood sweetheart, and they did a book launch on Tuesday. So his book is now available. You can go over to his website at evantheshow.net, evantheshow.net, amen, and pick up a copy of that audio book. Also, I want to let you know that this upcoming Friday, we are having at our church at New Creation Christian Ministries, the Kingdom Church, we are having a momentum shift. The Momentum Shift 2010, and Apostle Chevy C. Brown from Schenectady, New York, amen, is coming over to New Jersey for one night only, Friday night, the 29th of October at 7:30 p.m., and he is bringing with him musical guests all day. I tell you, God is going to be blessing us over there. I don't know how to say it, but all I can say is if you can be there, get there. Amen. Amen. And praise God. So we're excited about that. There's no registration fee. As you'll notice with most of the things that we do in our church, we don't have a registration fee because we don't want anything to hinder the work. Amen. We don't want money. We don't want money to hinder the work. And I know some people do it differently, but this is how God has given it to my husband and myself to do. Amen. Amen. Let us pray, and then we're going to go right into 12 ways to get the right one to say I do. And again, I welcome everyone to the broadcast. Call somebody and tell them to be here today, blogtalkradio.com/power, or they can call into 646-652-4832. I'm on a mission. Let them know that Pastor Rebecca Simmons is on a mission today. Amen. Okay, let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name on today. God, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. Thank you for a right mind, God. Thank you for mission. Thank you for purpose. Thank you for power, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Bless every woman who is assembled here on today, oh God. Bless Dana Neal and bless my guest. Bless Erica Anderson, oh God. Bless each and every person assembled in the chat room. And Lord, bless each and every person, Father God, that will come to the phone lines, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, have your way. Have your way during this time that we are here, during this next 50 minutes. We just ask that you have your way, Lord, and let your will be done. We thank you for opening the eyes of the blind, healing the sick, saving the lost, oh God. Oh God, freeing those who are in captivity, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that you are doing a great thing in our lives. And as we gather here each week, that you're taking us from glory to glory. So we praise you, God. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that we pray. Amen and praise God. Praise God. Today I will be dealing with 12 ways to get the right ones to say I do. Next week, and I'm doing it backwards because today I should be dealing with how do I know if he's the one, and also put a ring on it. But I'll deal with those next week if I don't have a guest. I don't know if I have any guests that will come up. And then if I don't have a guest, I'll be dealing with keeping your marriage hot on the following week. But before the year is out, I'm going to do all of these topics. Amen. But let's go right into how 12 ways to get the right one to say I do. And then after we do this, I'm going to open up the phone lines. I'm just going to talk for about 15-20 minutes prayerfully, and then I'll open up the phone lines. That's why I want to just deal with one topic at a time, because I want to talk to you. Amen. So I'll open up the phone lines and we'll have some interaction. One thing that we have to realize is that God has, if you have a desire to be married, God has the right one in mind for you. And if you're already married, I just want you to keep listening, because believe it or not, God is going to speak even during this time to you also, because a lot of the ways that we get the man, we need to utilize those same ways to keep the man. Amen. Let me say that again. A lot of the ways that we utilize to get the man, a lot of these 12 ways, we're going to have to continue to practice in order to keep the man. Amen. A lot of marriages end in divorce because we become somebody else after we get married. Come on, somebody. And the thing about it is that we have to be consistent. Amen. And in other words, in order to get the right one to say I do, we have to be the right one, and we have to be consistent about being the right one. You know, there cannot be any half-stepping. Amen. It cannot be I got you now I can let it all hang out. Come on, somebody. Too often we put our best foot forward when we're trying to get the man, and then when we get him, we just we drop the ball. We let it all hang out, all of our bad attitudes and funky moods. Amen. We begin to show our true selves. Amen. But I want you to get to the point where your true self is your real self, and that you're presenting your real self, you know, as your true self when you meet the man that God has sent. Amen, to make you his wife. Because the Bible clearly tells us that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtain a favor from the Lord. Amen. So again, women of God, I want you to know that you are a blessing to any man that is privileged to call you his wife. Amen. You are a blessing. God said it's not good for man to be alone, and he made man a wife. Amen. So we have to be the wife that God created us to be. Amen. And again, I thank God for Ms. Dana Neal in the chat room, and she says that she is graduating today from Locals Theological Institute, 3 certificates in ministry classes. Amen. And praise the Lord, Dana. Congratulations. Amen. The Lord says that we should study to show ourselves approved. Amen. So we are just, you know, move forward, keep moving forward in the things of God, because God has great plans for you, Dana. Amen. So let us go through the 12 ways to get the right one to say I do. Number one, and I pray that you have a pen and paper, because I just really, really want you to get these into your spirit take some notes. One of the ways that we get things to stay with us, to stick, is to take notes. Amen. So come to the broadcast, come to the show with pen and paper, because God has given me so much wisdom through my experiences, amen, and through learning, through the Bible, of course. But God has really helped me to help others in this area. I've had enough failed relationships to know what a good one feels like. So number one, or to know what a good one looks like even, because sometimes it's not what you feel it. Sometimes you can feel a little hot and bothered about the wrong one, amen. So number one, have an intimate relationship with God. Let me say number one again. Number one, have an intimate relationship with God. In other words, you have to know God for yourself. We had a young lady come into the church on last weekend, and she had been with us for the women's conference. And she come to find out, she came to the altar after the service, and I asked her if she was saved. And what she said to me is that she said, "I know God. I believe." She said, "No." She said, "I believe in Jesus." She said, "I believe in Jesus." And I want to tell you, woman of God, that in order to be who God has called you to be and to have all that he has for you to have, it comes to being more than you just believing in Jesus. Amen. God wants you to have an intimate relationship with him. God wants you to know him personally. And that's where we have to get to the point where, God, I know you. I know you personally. I know you for myself. Amen. And when we get to that point where we can say, God, I know you for myself, then we could truly say that we are in intimate relationship with God. I'm stalling because I've lost my connection. Amen. I'm trying to get back online, so I'm a little distracted. I need y'all to pray. You know, I need you to pray, because what happens is when you go forth to do something like this for God, and women are coming to be gathered together and say, you know what, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm not going to be used and abused no more. The devil gets mad. He does not like us being free. He does not like the idea of us being free. Amen. He does not like the idea of us saying, you know what, instead of jumping around, instead of hooping and hollering, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to learn from somebody who has some success in this area. The devil will want to try to stop us, but he gets no glory here. Amen. So I'm going to keep trying to reconnect. So as I teach, I'm going to keep moving forward. See, I just had a conference last week, Women on a Mission. Women on a Mission, there's no stopping us now. And you have to get to a point in your life where you're on a mission and you can say, you know what, I'm going to be, do, and have everything that God has for me to be, do, and have, and there is no stopping me now. And that's where I am right now. You know, I'm like, I'm on a mission, so I'm going to keep moving forward. Have a relationship with God. Having that relationship with God is like, you know that no matter what's going on in your life, that God is there, that God is walking with you through that thing. He's talking with you. He's guiding you, and you know that you can trust God to bring you through. You know that I could trust God to bring me through. Amen. I know that I don't have to, I don't have to be afraid of what's going on in my life. Amen. I can definitely say that God is not going to bring me through anything. He's not going to bring me through anything that he has not already given me the power to come through. You know, God is not going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. Amen. He is always with me. So when you know that you know that you know that God is with you, then you don't have to worry about what other people are doing or what other people are saying. You don't have to worry about what you're going through. You know, you can stand confident in knowing that if God be for you, then who can be against you? When you have an intimate relationship with God for yourself, then you can say, you know what, on Christ the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to look to the left or look to the right, but I'm going to keep moving forward with God. So step number one in getting the right one to say I do is to have a personal relationship with God. Have a relationship with God for yourself. Amen. I have a relationship with God. I've been walking with God for over 14 years, and I have a personal relationship with him, and that's why I want to encourage you to have your own personal relationship with God. Amen. I'm still having technical problems. Amen. But you guys, just stay there. You know, just stay with me. God's going to get us up and running. Amen. And even if not, my voice is still coming through loud and clear. The second step, deal with your issues. Amen. Listen, you got issues. I got issues. Everybody got issues. Amen. We all have issues. Listen, if you know you're mean, then you need to go before the altar. You need to go before the cross. You need to sprinkle yourself with the blood and let God help you to deal with your issues. And again, this is for married women too. If you're already married or if you're looking towards getting married, it is pertinent. It is of the utmost importance that you deal with your issues. Amen. Listen, a lot of the times, I said it earlier, when we're dating, we put our best foot forward. Amen. And we show our best self. But what God wants us to do, amen, is to let our best selves be our real selves. God wants you to get real with yourself and to get real with other people. Amen. Just get real. Keep it real. Keep it real and keep it moving. You know, you don't have time to be playing games at this point in your life. Listen, aren't you sick of having all the wrong relationships with all the wrong people? I know I am. You know, I'm to the point where I know I had gotten to that point where I didn't want another boyfriend, but I wanted a husband because I knew that I was a wife. Amen. And God wants us to get to that point where we know who we are. That's why you have to have that personal relationship with God, because now you know who you are, and there's no tripping you up. There's no fooling you. You're not deceived. You know you're a woman of God, and you know that just any old Joe Blow, you know, any old person can't come to you and approach you because you are confident in the woman that God has created you to be. You know that you're wonderfully and fearfully made. You have to deal with your issues. Listen, if you're mad at your father or some man from the past and you have never forgiven, then you have to deal with that. Because the reason that the person you're in relationship with, the reason that he might not be proposing is because he's seen your ugly side, and he doesn't like it, and he doesn't trust you. You know, a man needs to know that he can trust you with his feelings. He needs to know that he can cry in front of you, and you won't take that and throw it in his face the next time by calling him a chump or a sissy or a punk. Amen. He needs to know that you really care about him. But if you're loving him and being nice to him 1 minute and then going off on him the next, if you're Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde, then he can't trust you. Amen. He's not going to be able to trust you with his heart. And in order for a man to say, I do, he has to be able to trust you. So when he sees the God in you and when he knows that you're one who started dealing with your issues, and one way to start dealing with your issues is to be real with the person that you're in relationship with. I remember being dating my husband. I remember when we were thinking about getting married, and I asked my husband, he wasn't my husband at the time, but I asked him, I asked Pastor Anthony, I asked him, was he gay? Now, he looked at me and, I mean, literally cursed me out. You know, who the H do you think you're talking to, he asked me. And we were only newly saved. We had been saved for like a year. But he was so upset with me. He was like, who the H do you think you're talking to? How are you going to question my manhood? Why, how are you going to call me, ask me if I'm gay, you know? But that was one of my issues, amen, because my ex-husband, there were questions in that area with my ex-husband. I don't know if my ex-husband was gay or not, but I know that there was signs, you know, pointing in that direction. And that thing messed me up, you know, to the point where I didn't trust any man. I questioned every man because my ex-husband surely did not look like he was gay. So one of my issues was I didn't know, I couldn't trust. I couldn't trust men. I had a lack of trust. And you know what your issues are. You know, your issues may be different than my issues. Only you will know what your issues are, but you have to deal with your issues. Amen. Number three, take care of yourself physically, mentally, and spiritually. Amen. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I pray that you will prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. So we have to prosper mentally, we have to prosper spiritually, and we also have to prosper physically. Amen. So you have to be physically healthy, mentally healthy, and spiritually healthy. That's why the first thing was have a relationship with God, because as your relationship with God lines up, as your vertical relationship lines up, then your horizontal relationship will line up. Amen. Amen. And praise God. So, you know, I just thank God that he's teaching us. You know, this is a time where we are learning how to be spiritually fit. You know, there was a time when we would just go to church, and we would learn how to, there was a time when we would just go to church, and we would just go to church, you know. But now is a time when we're going to church, and God has given us more and more information to help us to be the people, the women that he has called us to be. Amen. So one thing that you want to do is work on being spiritually fit. Don't just go to church, but go to Bible study. Go to seminary. Like Dana was saying, take some ministry classes. Amen. And then, you know, continue to improve yourself. Take care of yourself physically. Eat the right foods. Amen. Don't settle in and say, well, my mother was overweight, so I'm overweight, so, you know, I might as well just accept it. But are you taking care of yourself? Are you eating right? Are you exercising? Amen. Are you doing everything that you can do in order to be the best person that you can be? See, a man is attracted by a woman who has her own thing going. Listen, you don't have to you don't have to spend your life looking for a man. Let me just make this clear. You don't have to spend your life looking for a man to validate you, looking for a man to see you. Amen. That's the worst thing that you could do. What you want to do is spend your time being you. You know, spend your time in relationship with God. Spend your time dealing with your issues. Spend your time being the best person that you can be. Amen. When you do this, then what you are doing is you are showing the world and any man that might be looking at you that, look, I'm God's woman. You know, I'm a child of God. And you know what? I don't need a man to validate me. Come on, somebody. I don't need a man to validate me. I know that I am somebody. You know, when you get to that point when you know that you know that you know that you're somebody, that's irresistible. Did you hear what I said? That is just so irresistible when you can say, you know what, I'm confident in my own skin. I'm not needy. See, a lot of us have gone through a lot of things in the past that have given us this sense of being needy. You know, I feel like I need somebody to validate me. I'm, you know, that desperate feeling. Have you ever had that desperate feeling where you felt like, you know what, I need a man? And praise the Lord, because my computer is back up, amen. But, you know, when you get that desperate feeling, when you feel like you just need a man to validate you, you don't feel pretty unless somebody tells you that you're pretty, amen. So, take care of yourself, amen. When you take care of yourself, you're saying to God and you're saying to other people, I love me. I love me. Come on, somebody. Say that. Say, I love me. Come on, women of God. I love me. I love me. I don't need a man to come to me and tell me you're wonderful. You know, I don't need a man to come to me and tell me that I'm desirable. You know, you have to know who you are. You're wonderfully and fearfully made, created in the image of God. And what that means is that you're worthy of honor and respect. Amen. So don't let anybody mistreat you. Don't let people this being domestic violence month, don't let people pull you around. Don't let people push you around. Amen. So praise the Lord. Take care of yourself. Eat the right foods. Exercise. Educate yourself. Amen. Buy yourself. If you want a diamond ring, go ahead and buy yourself. Don't buy an engagement ring, but buy yourself a diamond ring. You know, if you want to go on a trip to Paris, go on a trip to Paris with yourself or get a couple of girlfriends. If you want a house, buy a house. Listen, what I'm saying is you don't need a man to do all of these things. Amen. Your husband will come to add to your life, but he does not come to make your life. He does not come just because, you know, you have a husband does not mean all of a sudden, oh, now I'm somebody. No, you're somebody before you get the husband. That's what, come on, somebody. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. Amen. Praise. I love me. I see you, Ms. Dana Neal. Praise the Lord. 12 ways to get the right one to say I do. Number 4, go ahead and have some coffee. Now, this is important. Go ahead and have some coffee. Listen, a lot of us have this big list of criteria. Like, I want him to be tall. I want him to be dark. I want him to be bald-headed. I want him to have a lot of money. Lord, please let him drive a BMW. Let him have a white-collar job. You know, and what we're doing is we're limiting God. Amen. We are putting God in the box. Take God out of that box. Take him out of the box. We're limiting God and saying, God, I want you to bring him to me my way. And God might have somebody totally different for you. He might be packaged differently than what you expect him to be packaged. But on the inside, there's a treasure. Come on, somebody. It's not... what does the Bible say? Man looks at the outward appearance, but not God. God looks at the heart. Amen. We need to stop looking at fine, dark, tall, and yes, 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 you need to be attracted to him. Amen. He should be attractive, but that cannot be your only factors when you're determining whether or not to even have a cup of coffee with somebody. Listen, a cup of coffee. If he comes to you after church and says, would you like to have a cup of coffee? If some friends, we're going out, I want you to, you know, just have a cup of coffee with you. Go ahead and have some coffee. You know, the Bible says if we want to have friends, we have to show ourselves friendly. Amen. Richard was on the broadcast last week, and he was saying women need to talk to men. Amen. Listen, you don't have to flirt up every guy you meet like I used to do. But listen, if you see someone and you're attracted to him and he's single, you know, it's nothing wrong with, you know, smiling. It's nothing wrong with saying hello. It's nothing wrong with telling him, you know, you like that suit that he's wearing. Amen. So, you know, we have to just go ahead and take that step. Have some coffee. If he's going out bowling with some friends and wants you to go bowling, go bowling. Amen. If you're totally not interested, then don't force yourself. Because if it don't fit, well, don't force it. Amen. If he just disgusts you when you look at him, then, again, that's not the one. Amen. Because there has to be some attraction that's going to have to carry over to your marriage. Amen. Number 5, dress like a lady. Now, this one is walking on eggs. I'm walking on eggshells with this one, okay? When I say dress like a lady, listen, when we were in the world and we were trying to get attention like the world does, we dressed like the world, you know, let it all hang out again. Everything was hanging out, breasts and, you know, short skirts and, you know, all our legs out and, you know, everything's tight. You know, with me, everything was tight and short. Amen. But listen, ladies, we got to come out from amongst them. You know, we can't dress like the world dress. I mean, sure, you can still be sassy, sophisticated, and even to a limit, you can still be what the world calls sexy. Amen. But that does not mean that you're letting everything hang out. Amen. That does not mean that all he sees the color of the flesh of your breast. Come on, somebody. That he knows exactly how they jiggle. Come on, somebody. That he could see the contours of your behind because of the jeans or the skirt that you have on. And a lot of women would hate me for this. They would say, well, this is 2010. How can you tell women how to dress? I'm not telling you how to dress. I'm just saying, if you want to get the attention of the man that is truly for you, amen, then you want to make sure that you're not advertising sex. Amen. There's a certain way that we can dress where we advertise sex. I don't care what year it is. It's 2010. I don't care what year it is. There's certain things. When you look in the mirror, the Holy Ghost says, you need to change, girl. And that's why, again, it goes back to step one, that we have to have a relationship with God. Amen. Well, I'm not going to get through all 12. Dress like a lady. I'm going to do two more. And then I'm going to open up the phone lines. As a matter of fact, let's see, maybe I could get through a few more. Let me get through a few more. Okay, dress like a lady. Okay. And again, listen, let me just say this about dressing like a lady. When I dress like a hoochie mama, I'm just saying, God bless you, prophet of God. When I dress like a hoochie mama before I got saved and even shortly after I got saved, that's the kind of attention that I got. The attention that men would give to a hoochie mama. You know, let me break off a piece of that. Woo-wee, I love the way you look in that dress. Must be jelly because jam don't shake like that. I'm dating myself. That's old. men drooling at the mouth, slobbering at the mouth while they looked at me. You know, men trying to take me to hotel rooms. Come on, somebody. I'm just trying to think back to some of the reactions that I got when I dressed like less than a lady. Men rubbing up on me on the dance floor instead of respecting me. Amen. You know, I tell you, men trying to kiss me and, you know, just saying all kinds of crazy stuff. Amen. Expecting me to go to bed with them, you know, because they thought that I was advertising sex, when really what I was saying is pay attention to me, validate me, love me, amen. And that's really what we're saying. But when we have a relationship with God, we don't have to say that, amen. We don't have to say pay attention to me because God's eyes are ever on us, amen. His eyes are on the righteous, amen. We don't have to say validate me because God validates us, amen. He created us, knit us together in our mother's womb, amen. And we certainly don't have to say love us, my God, because there's no love like the love that God gives to us. Come on, somebody. So when I say dress like a lady, I put it out there because nobody else is. We're coming to church and we're dressing like we're going to the club. And nobody's saying anything. The pastor won't say anything. Now, if you're a new convert, if you just got saved, then you come as you are. But after 10 years in the church, come on. I mean, something's got to give, amen. So dress like a lady, amen. And then number six, act like a lady. It's okay to be feminine. When did women feel like we had to be hard? We had to be so hard. And even some of us married women, you know, some of you married women, you growling around the house. Your husband has not seen a smile in years. Come on, somebody. We sitting up in the church, single women. You know, single women, it's okay to be feminine. It's okay to be sweet. It's okay to be gentle, gentle and a contrite spirit, the Bible tells us. You know, it's okay. We don't have to be like men. Amen. We don't have to be all tough. A lot of women have a tough exterior because we've been hurt, you know. But I just thank God that God gave us the gift of femininity. Come on, somebody. That we can still be soft and gentle. We can still glide across a room. Amen. I love to see a sophisticated woman just walk into the room and she's assured that she knows who she is. And when she moves, she just glides. She flows in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. She glides across the room and she's not. You know how you see some people walk, it's like boom, boom, and those hips are going boom, boom, boom. And, you know, it's like every move is exaggerated and all you see is the butt. Come on, somebody. And I had to tell my grandchildren, my granddaughters, they're 14 and 15, bring that in. Bring it in. But I used to walk like that, you know, that walk was like, see me, want me, desire me, you know. But there's a move that a walk that a woman has, a lady has, that's like, I'm just flowing in the spirit. I'm flowing. I'm confident. Amen. I'm not needy. I'm not desperate. Amen. I tell you, these are just a few of the things that the Lord gave me. And again, I pulled them from my experience. As a matter of fact, God will take everything that you used to be, everything that you used to do, and turn that thing around. Amen. And he will tell you to do the opposite. He will tell you to do the opposite. And the last one I'm going to do today, and I'm going to have to pick this up again because I do want to talk to some of the people who are calling in. Talk to him. This is the person that you're interested in, the person that's interested in you. Talk to him about Jesus and talk to him about other things as well. Have a, in other words, I talked about it earlier, having your own interest. I'm interested. What are some of the things? I want you just to jot down. You have your paper, you have your pen. Jot down some of the things that you're interested in. I'm interested in exercising when I have the time. I'm interested in fine dining. You know, I love good food at very nice restaurants. Amen. I'm interested in the theater. I love to go to Broadway plays. Amen. Or even local plays. One day I want to go to the opera. Amen. These are some of the things that I'm interested in. I'm interested in writing books and writing poetry. I'm interested in the Bible. Oh, Lord, I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. You know, I said the Bible like number seven. That doesn't mean, or number eight, but that does not mean that that's the priority. I didn't list it in the level of priorities. I'm just telling you some of the things that I'm interested in. Amen. I'm interested in my children, you know. Clothes, I love clothes. Amen. I'm interested in TV, watching great romance movies. What are some of the things that you're interested in? And, you know, why I say this is because some of us, when we get into the church, we get locked down in the church, and we can't talk about nothing else but Jesus. But a man likes a woman who has a variety of interests. Amen. Am I interested in something else besides just going to church? You know, going to church is a great thing, and we have to go to church. But, you know, what else? What else are you interested in? Amen. What else do you like? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite movie? You know, these are the things that you want to talk to this man about to pique his interest. But if all you can talk about the Bible, I mean, please make sure you're equally yoked. You don't want to get married to somebody and they don't love Jesus the way that you love Jesus. Amen. That person will try to stop you from going to church. That person will attack your faith. That person will take you to hell and back. Amen. When you're unequally yoked, can God turn it around? If you marry the wrong person, yes, God can turn it around because God can do anything. And his arm is not short, nor is his hand weak. Amen. So, yes, God can turn it around. But do you want to take yourself through that? you want to go through that kind of anguish. Amen. I'm sure there's some women in the chat room that can testify to the fact that, or even on the phone lines, that can testify to the fact that they have been unequally yoked and that they went through something. Amen. So those are just seven. You know, I don't know what's going on. I want to go through to the phone lines, but my computer is just, y'all be praying. Amen. Just as I was getting ready to go through the phone lines, my computer just started acting up again. I'm going to try to get back to the phone lines right now, okay? Going back to the switchboard. I want to open up the switchboard. I've only gone through seven. Amen. I have about 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I have five more. But I want to talk to you guys. Amen. I want you to let me know, is this helping anybody? Amen. I'll take a couple calls, and if we have time, I'll go back and do a couple more. How's that? So let's take a phone break, go to the phone lines, and you guys can we'll determine if we have any time for a couple more before we go off the air. Amen. Area code 312, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca.
God bless you. Erica?
Yes. Can you hear
me? God bless you. Yes, I can hear you. Came through a little low in the beginning. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Good, good. Now, I was just going through 12 ways to get the right one to say I do. I don't know how, if you've heard all of them, but I just want to just take any comments or questions that you have.
I was actually sitting here laughing when you were going through the seven steps that you were talking about, and I wrote them down, and I was laughing because I just love God, and I thank Him so much for you because you just be all in my business.
Amen.
And, the Lord has been really dealing with me as far as our relationship, as far as being intimate with Him, and even with the relationships and things that I've been in. And I've been through, you know, been through relationships where I was unequally yoked with guys and things like that, and it will tell. It really will
tell.
But the topic that you got here, and the first one was, you know, having an intimate relationship with God is very important. Very, very important. And at one point in my life, I didn't really value who I was. You know, I didn't really have any self-worth. Didn't really care what I did or whatever. And I let a lot of people validate me in so many different ways. And I didn't realize that I was doing that until I started allowing God to show me who He was in me and showing me different things about my life. And what He began to show me was different patterns of what I was doing and how I was degrading myself and letting other people degrade me as well. And some of the same comments that you got from men and things like that, I had the same. And I wasn't one to wear very short clothes and things like that, even when I was in the world, because I was always scared to wear certain things. But sometimes I did have my clothes tight, and the attention that you get from it is not the attention that you want.
That's good.
It's really not the attention that you want, because men, if you put it out there like that, they're going to respond to it how you put it out there. And so if you're, you know, parading yourself around like, if I can say this, like a hoe, then they're going to respond to you that way. And the thing is, a lot of women get upset, you know, because of the attention they receive. But my thing is you can't get upset when you're parading around and you're open and exposed, because what you're doing is inviting them. To them, that's an open invitation that I'm invited, you know, to your body. And they're not.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
And so I think these were excellent points. And even with number four, when you said to go ahead and have coffee. A few days ago, and I've been in prayer a lot, and I told you that I have been allowing God to deal with me as far as some things that had been previously going on in my life. And I had been telling him and describing the man that I wanted.
Jesus. Okay.
You know what I wanted him to look like.
Make one just for me, God.
I mean, yes. And that's what I was doing. And that's why it's always good to you know, spend time with God, because he will show you different things. And he'll show you, you know, okay, well, this is not the way to go about it. So I thank him for that. But I had been talking to him about that. And now you come on today and you start explaining how, you know, not to put limits on God as far as men, you know, because we may be looking for one thing and it may not come that way. And that is so very true. And I don't want to miss out on what it is that God has for me because I'm looking for a particular package to be a certain way, and it's not that way.
Amen. And let me just say, add to that, God will give you the desires of your heart. You know, the Bible says as we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. But, you know, we got to make God give us what he wants to give us when he wants to give us what he wants to give us. Like the people of Israel, when they were wandering around in the desert, God was giving them manna from heaven, and they didn't want the little cakes that they were able to make from the manna anymore. They wanted some meat, and they began to complain to God and say, well, God, give us some quail. I mean, give us some meat. So God gave them the quail, and, you know, that really angered God that, you know, what he was giving them was not enough, that they were complaining about what he was actually blessing them with. So we just have to be very careful to say, it's okay to say, I like tall, dark, and handsome. You know, and that's what the Lord sent me, tall, dark, and handsome. But only after I began to delight myself in him was I able to receive his blessing.
That's important. That's very important.
Of the right one.
Yeah.
So, you know, keep your, you know, it's okay if God has given you, you have certain types that you're attracted to, that's okay, but don't make it too long a list. And don't be so stringent to say, he asked me for coffee, but he's only a little bit taller than me, then, you know, then you have a problem because he might be the one that God is sending.
Okay. That's a good point.
I know, I'm reading your mail, okay.
You are so reading.
You're overlooking the one that God possibly is sending to you, and you're looking at somebody else who might be all wrong, because as we know from history, our personal history, we don't have too good a when we come to pick out men, we're not doing too good a job.
Come on.
So you might as well let God pick them for you.
Yes, and that is so very true. But that's why I thank God for your broadcasts and just your love and your help towards me, because he's really been using you to help me, and he's been opening my eyes to so many different things, and I just have so many things that I didn't know that he's bringing out. So I'm learning to deal with a lot of things now, and even with number 6 that you gave, you know, act like a lady. A lot of women, you know, I have trouble in that area too as well, you know, as trying to be tough all the time, but that's all I know. And so that's something that God is beginning to change now.
Yeah.
Me in my life, because at one point, that's all I had to be, you know, and even in my family and being around my family and being in the place that I was, you know, I had to be that. And so it's kind of, I'm dealing with it now to be able to break it, because I don't want it to become a problem later on in life, you know, to be overbearing with my husband and things like that. But sometimes we can allow that to get in the way.
Yes.
You know,
and it can break up a marriage. It can prevent the right man from coming, and it can also break up that marriage. And Erica, I'm going to say this before I take the next call, and you stay with me. God will give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel, I believe it's 38 or 36. I don't have the scripture right in front of me, but he says, I will take away the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And that's why that relationship piece is so important, because God will help you to forgive totally forgive. You're in the process now, and he's going to allow you to release even the more of the people that have hurt you. With you and with me, forgiveness has been a process. And as we get to the point where we have finally trusted God enough to let these people go, then our heart becomes the heart of flesh, and we can trust God not to let anybody hurt us like that again. Amen. He will take away the sting of the pain. And I love God because he does that. He doesn't take away the memory, but he takes away the sting of the pain so that it does not hurt us anymore like it used to. So I just thank God for you. Stay with me. Stay with me. I want to take another call. And let's see what else God is saying. Amen. Area code 908, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Praise the Lord. Pastor Simmons is Mother Bailey and also Mother Baker.
Oh, praise the Lord. God bless you, Mother Rosa and Mother Baker, Mother Bailey and Mother Baker. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. I was listening at your one of the first one, of course, have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Get to know him for yourself, which you said was the most important, and I totally agree with that. And the second one you said, and while you're waiting for God to send that special person, work on yourself. Work on your own issues. And I really got excited by that because we really had, Mother Baker was teaching a class, and, you know, sometimes when you're trying to teach women, some of the very ones that need to hear don't show up to the class.
Mm.
But I wanted her to hear and to be encouraged about what you were saying, you know, and to be encouraged and know that she was on, well, she already knew she was on the right track, because that's one of the things that you're right. We should work on ourselves, prepare ourselves, become a whole person, because a lot of times we say, I want, where's my other half or my better half? But you should be a whole person, not a half of a person. And you're waiting for a whole and complete person.
Mm.
And I thank the Lord for that.
Yes.
And Mother Baker might have something that she would like to share with you.
Mother Baker?
I was writing Mother Simmons. I've never published it. I've never completed. And that's what the Lord gave me. You be a complete person within yourself. So when God does send a person, they don't come to make you. They just come to enhance who you are.
Mm.
Do the things that
Lord.
Interest you and the things that you want to do while you're waiting. And there's another area. We seem to many times focus on the younger women, but they laugh at me when I say it. But I tell them on a one-to-one and collectively when I have opportunity to do, you need companionship from the cradle to the grave.
Yes,
And whether old, young, in the middle or whatever. I told them, I said, that's why they have these border babies. They have volunteers that come in and sit and hold these children. They need human contact. And if we could understand that, we focus mainly on the younger women, but we need to talk to these older women, too.
Praise God.
Some of them are out of control.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But I had thought when you came and talked to us, I was going to make contact with you because I was reading your book to see about publishing.
Amen.
And not in a large manner, but in a small manner so it could be distributed around the district and the state and whatnot, what God had given me.
But
it's so important, and I say the same thing, and our pastor speaks the same sentiment. For those that come in, it takes time. It takes time to live holy. But for those that have been in the church for a while, you're supposed to know. If you don't know, then you haven't been listening, and you haven't learned anything.
Yes.
Woman to woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for those words. That is powerful. It does. It takes time. And at a certain point, you should know better. And if you don't know, you have not been paying attention. So, or it has not been taught. But in most places, it is. Holiness is being taught. And we we want to be, you know, there's so many people that want to be married. I did a teaching in the workshop at the women's conference last week, where I taught, put a ring on it. And so often where we want to be married, but like you said, we want that affection, we want that affirmation, and we want to be wanted. So we find ourselves in relationships and in the bed of men who are not, with men who are not our husbands.
No.
And like you said, Mother Baker, I think that is just so key that we need this companionship from the cradle to the grave. My, I have not heard that. And I just thank God for you coming on saying that even the older women, even who are widowed or divorced even, but have gotten older, that they too are seeking companionship.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
And we don't, you know, we don't see it that way. Most people don't. They only concentrate on the younger women.
Yes.
But it's very important to have a well-rounded life for them also.
And I was in on the first part of the workshop. I wasn't able to be there the second, that Saturday and Sunday, because we had things going on at our church. But I was there that first when you spoke to the women about if you want it, put a ring on it. If you
do it,
but you first must have a value in your own self. You must know who you are in the Lord and know the cost, know what it costs someone. And when we say that, it costs Christ to get us to the point where we are. And we can't say, because we desire companionship, put ourselves cheaply, because we're holding ourselves very cheaply because we desire companionship. And when we do that, then we're saying, then the Christ paid, the price that Christ paid wasn't sufficient. He paid with his life. That is, that's the great price, the greatest of price. So we are valuable. We, as you said, we are valuable. So if we treat ourselves that, I think one thing you also said is that we really don't realize that the key is with us. It's not with them. They want us to believe that they're the ones, but it's with us. We're the ones who are basically in control of that relationship and determine which way it goes. And if it's going in a way that's not spiritually building, it's going to cause us to err or lose our salvation, then it's not going in the right way, and we need to say bye. And I thought that was, I'm telling you, so much out of that night. I thought, oh, God, I just wished I could have been at the rest. But I thank the Lord for that first night and what I received of it. And I agree with Mother. A lot of times we are addressing the younger women, but sometimes I say even to my granddaughters, listen, honey, because I'm 67 years old doesn't mean that I've died. I have not died.
Yes.
I'm still here, you know. And it doesn't mean that I don't need to constantly remind myself of who I am in the Lord, because I can err too. Because I get lonely, and I have desires, and I want companionship too. But you have to constantly remind yourself of who you are in the Lord. And the best way to do that, stay in the Word. And like Mother says, Mother Baker says, keep yourself busy in things that are going to be edifying and building. And if you do that, you're constantly working on yourself, and you find yourself at peace with yourself and saying, well, God knows what's best for me. And at such an appointed time, if he believes and knows this is best for me, he'll send it. But if not, then I have to find myself to be content in the state I am while I'm in working.
Be therefore content, whatever state you find yourself in, be therefore content. And then sometimes they're in such a hurry, instead of spending that time working on them and doing things that they enjoy, when they do find a mate, then they're whining, I can't do this, I can't do that.
That's good.
I want to go here, I want to go there. But if they had spent that time during their waiting period doing those things that they desired, then they would be content, and they'd have more to enrich their children's lives with their experiences and the things they had done.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
those
especially
are.
Like the part where you say, if you desire a diamond ring, go buy yourself
go buy
one.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
All three, both of y'all said it the same way. She said it too. She said, if I desire myself a piece of jewelry, I don't wait for somebody to give it to me. I put myself, I work, I train, I teach, and I get myself in a position where I can buy for myself even if I have to lay it away.
That's right.
But
that's
I go
right.
and do that because it's for me.
Yes.
So I'm not dependent on someone to give me something because a lot of times when people give you something, a cost is attached to it.
Oh, yeah, there's strings attached to it.
But I really enjoyed listening at the young lady that was speaking and her about her growth in the Lord and how, but listen, I say also, it didn't take me 20 years or 30 years. It took me 67 years to get where I am today, and the Lord is still teaching me.
My
so we
goodness.
Grow and we learn every day.
Yeah, so that is that is so inspiring. Go
I'm
ahead,
so
go
excited
ahead,
about this talk. I'm telling you.
The thing.
Well, Mother Baker and Mother Belly, stay with me. We have a hair raise, and I believe this might be one of our gentlemen listeners.
Go ahead.
He has raised his hand, and he, you know, has requested to be put on the air. I'm going to put him on the air. So just stay with me, amen, as we take this call. But I really appreciate both of you being here, adding more, even more insight to this topic. Area code 111, your hand is raised. You're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Yeah, good morning, sisters.
Morning.
I don't know how you knew it was a guy calling in, and it's an apex guy. In other words, an alpha male. But I think what the sister said was very, very astute in that she said that you need companionship all throughout your life. And that's true because humans are gregarious. And, you know, God said in the Old Testament, it's not good for man to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that refers to a woman, too.
Yes.
A couple of things. Number one, I think it's very, very good for women to get the concepts of men and men who are not afraid to talk to you because that's important. We really, you know, there's a passage that says, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man another. And we really need both of each other to be there to understand each other. And so I just applaud you guys. I don't know if you have men at your workshops, but it would be good to have situations where both men and women talk. If we expect them to get together in any kind of meaningful relationship, they've got to know each other. So asking men what they want is crucial. And I think we normally don't deal with, you know, what a man wants in a partner. Another thing is I find that many women will do a lot more in their church activities than they will for their men. Mm. And I know a lot of time pastors accept that because there are a lot of things in the church that need to be done. But it should not be done at the neglect of a woman's
mm-hmm.
relationship.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, thank you, and I think a good pastor will tell a woman to go home because she can be there trying to support the work of the church. And you know, there's a passage in the Bible that says the wise woman builds her house up, but the foolish woman tears it down with her own hand. And, of course, we have a lot of women today that do that in a myriad of ways. They tear the possibility, not only their relationship, if they're lucky enough to have one, but they also tear down possibilities. And that's very important to recognize also. For example, attitudes, having a bad, stinky attitude. And a lot of attractive women, bad attitudes. And they set themselves up for the worst kind of guys because it's only those guys who can break that barrier because that's what they do. That's they're attitude crushers, as it were. And then the woman will say, oh, well, guys are bad. Guys are mean. But no, it's just the ones that you choose. It's the ones that you let into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke with the sister last week about, and she agreed fully, which I thought, and some women do. She's not the only one, but women do. The area of the greatest sticking point or area of conflict is women being pleasant toward men, initiating pleasantness, saying, hi, how are you, and engaging in polite conversation. Women have to hone their relationship skills, too. And just one other point, and I'll let you guys feedback. One of the points that's really, really misinterpreted in the Bible as far as the initial stages of a relationship is
yes.
that he who finds a wife.
Finds a wife, that's right.
Because,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's an end product.
Mm-hmm.
End. That's a
mm-hmm.
terminal product.
Mm-hmm.
Just as if you were going to different car lots, you wouldn't pay each car lot to look at their car.
No,
that's crazy.
That's right.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
But see
no.
what women are doing, and some men too, but men will correct themselves quicker if someone challenges them on it. Women are basically saying, you owe me a fee for my time. In other words, they're prostituting their time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you reduce a relationship to a financial transaction, you take all the human element out of it. You take the love and the trust and so on and so forth out of it. So women shouldn't be brokering or selling their time. They should
Thank
be involved in the dating process, too. So a man finding a wife, you're not a wife.
Thanks.
You're just a potential date whom he may not ever see again.
Mm-hmm.
And if you realize from the law of averages, if we're trying to date different people in order to find that compatible person, then you shouldn't be claiming things that belong to another woman.
To a wife.
Do
okay.
you follow me on that?
Yes.
But a lot of women are saying today, and I think a lot of women who don't have men because they have bad attitudes, they're not participating in the relationship dynamics, they're sitting back exercising a control attitude. Now, they want equality in the workplace. You know, they want equal pay for equal work. And I agree with that. But if you realize the way the United States was structured, the major demarcation between men and women was the work. And since women now are in the work environment, and have all the legal rights as men, and we can never forget the impact that the law has upon our lives. Because we live in a country known as Lex Rex. That's Latin for law is king, as
mm-hmm.
opposed to Rex Lex, which means the king is law. So if the law is king and you have equal responsibilities under the law, you also have equal responsibilities in your social interaction. That's a direct responsibility of having equal rights. So women who claim that they're being godly by sitting, excuse the expression, back on their lovely butts and waiting for men to do everything, they are out of order. Period.
Okay.
They're out of order, and they need to enhance their relationship skills if they expect to be in one. We're in the 21st century now. You're not your grandmother. You're not your mother. You're not your great-grandmother.
I agree with you. Come into the 21st century.
Okay. Okay.
Right. You've got to update your skills.
Okay.
So anyway,
wow.
that's
Simmons.
Richard, stay with us because I believe we have a couple of our mothers and our grandmothers on the line with us, and I do believe I want to give them a chance to respond. But before that, I just want to tell you a definition of wife. According to the Bible, the King James Version of the Bible, the wife being a Hebrew lexicon, the definition is woman, wife, female, woman, opposite of man, wife, woman married to a man, female, each and every. So basically a wife, a woman, is a wife. You know, so a wife can, one of the definitions of wife is woman. So the end product, just because she gets married, does not make her a wife. God has already ordained for her to be a wife. You yourself quoted, it is not good for man to be alone. So God has already ordained marriage. So any woman that's going to be married or is married was already ordained to be a wife. Amen. So I just wanted to just put that in. And then I want our mothers to comment.
Go ahead, Mother Vale.
No, I understand what the Word of God says. And in a sense, I also understand. Well, one of the scriptures you quoted, Pastor Simmons, you were saying, and you must, if you desire friends, you must show yourself friendly.
Yes.
And with the wrong attitude, you're right. You have a tendency to turn off people. But now I'm going to be honest with you, and this is Mother Baker, you know, all right, brutally. And this is me. I have a tendency. I'm very friendly. Now, I'm an older woman, and I'm very friendly. I love people. I enjoy talking to people. So it doesn't matter, man or woman. You know, if you're standing there and I'm standing there, hello, how you doing? It's a beautiful day. A conversation is going to start. I don't have a problem with that. And I don't see it as coming on to someone, a man.
Yes.
Definitely not a woman. I'm just a friendly person. And I agree. In order to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. I also agree that if there's nothing wrong with if you are in the supermarket or in the fruit aisle and you're buying a pear, even married or not, you know, I'm not coming on to someone and someone is there shopping and it happens to be a man and he's picking up fruit and checking the fruit. And I said, oh, well, how do you tell whether that's ripe or not? You know, that's a conversation. That's all, you know. And in the dating process, I agree. Both people have a part to play.
That's good.
Yeah, that's true.
So I totally agree with that. You know, that we both have an equal part in the dating process. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mother Baker, did you have anything to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with some of the comments that he made, especially the one about women neglecting their homes to participate in church. Because I think that was Paul that said, a married woman cares for the things of of a husband.
Yes.
Single woman cares for things of the Lord. I'm just paraphrasing. So you have to be really careful about that. That's why it's so important to get the right person.
Mm-hmm.
When
the
I was
right
married,
person.
If I wrote a message, my husband would type it. If he wasn't working, and I was, and we had to go to service that night, he cooked dinner. And tell me, well, now you eat and take a nap, and I'll wake you up on time for us to get there.
Wow.
And, like, taking the authority, we didn't fight because whatever we had to do, we would discuss it. And whoever came up with the best idea, that's what went for. You know, so it's very important to be open.
Yes.
Open and honest and talk and listen. And you know how we are sometimes. Oh, we just got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, well, is that important to you, do it. And if I got in a mess, he'd help me clean it up and never say I told you so.
Wow. Amen. Praise God. That was
and
the right person.
I also, one of the things that the brother said was that we as women, we have, because we're, well, of course we're not our mothers or my grandmother or my grandmother, my mother, you know. My mother worked in the service field. She worked in a shoe store. And so, of course, a part of her job was to be friendly, and maybe it just spilled over with us, you know, the daughters and her children. I'm going to have to go off the phone for a few minutes. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you, I'm going to lay the phone down, Mother Baker. I don't want you to cut off since I called you in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I totally agree that it's important for us to watch that attitude, you know, the attitude is important. It doesn't mean that we need to be overly friendly or mushy, because as a woman, I can't stand, I love them, but I don't like a person who's overly friendly or overly sweet, you know? Maybe that's their natural way, but I tend to get, you know, I mean, you can overdo anything, you know? But the whole topic is that women who are waiting or looking or hoping or praying for that mate. And I'm going to lay the phone down now so I can go and have a conversation with someone. I have to take care of something. I'm going to lay the phone down.
Okay, Mother Billy. Thank you so much.
But we have
another caller. We have another caller. I want to put this caller in. I believe it is another one of my male listeners. I want to put him in. I also want to talk about that investment piece. I believe you're talking about it's okay for a woman to buy.
I was thinking the same thing.
So, go ahead, Mother Baker.
Was that directed at me?
I was thinking the same thing when he spoke. There's nothing wrong with a woman inviting a man someplace. Because we are not back years ago where women didn't have resources. But they do now. As you say, they're in the workforce. They get equal pay for equal work. And they are not so dependent. Now, they have resources, too. But with those resources, you don't have to have an attitude.
Amen. Amen. Let me bring in this last caller that we'll be able to take, because I definitely do have to go. I have a book signing this afternoon at Crossroads of Life Bookstore in Hillside, New Jersey, area. Come on out. Area code 708. You're on the air. Welcome to Women to Women.
God bless you, Pastor. How are you?
God bless you, Pastor Larry Sartin, Moments in the Word, right here on Block Talk Radio. It's a blessing to have you call in to my show today. What do you have to say about all of this, getting the right one to say I do, or any comments that you've heard so far?
Well, you know, Pastor, I believe that I don't believe so much as getting the right one to say I do is the real issue. I heard someone bring up once when I got on, talking about the attitude, and I believe what really stems or produces the attitude is that I believe many women are tired of being hurt by men, and so on behalf of men, let me apologize to the men. But the truth is, when you look in the scripture, the reason most men perceive it as attitude is because the truth is, it's their authority that's coming out of them that most men can't handle. Mm-hmm. If you recall in Genesis, and God, the Bible says, and God made them. And so God gave the woman just as much authority as he gave the man in the beginning. God didn't make him up and her down. God made them equal. And then he separated the authority later on. And so when men perceive the sisters as having attitude, it's because she's now walking in the authority that God placed in her, because she cannot find a Adam to submit to. And so men perceive that as attitude because, and sometimes men feel that they don't qualify, or they feel uneasy because she's someplace and he's not on the same level, and they feel threatened. And so many men lead their relationships by threatenings and by hollerings and by all that kind of care and all. And so the authority that's in that woman generally comes out of her, and she stands up and becomes the person God made her in the beginning, you see. And most men can't handle that because they're threatened. But I believe I heard the mother say, there's nothing wrong with a woman approaching a man and just start out with a friendly conversation, you know, because that's where every date starts from, a friendly conversation. I don't believe that it's a bad thing, nor does it place a stigma on that woman, because the truth is, if she's single, I'm sure at some point she wants to get married. And it'd be a shame to be standing next to your soulmate and you not even say hello. You know? That'd be a travesty to have that happen. And so every first day starts with a hello. And I believe I said last week the same thing. that if someone doesn't make the approach, and especially if she's standing there and she looks like she has a bad attitude, if she don't try to smile and say something, he's not going to talk to her. You know, and that's if I can, another thing I want to touch on, I heard somebody say that about the sometimes the ladies get it out of order when they spend a lot of time in the church and don't spend that time at home. And I believe this because most pastors feel like that if the sisters don't come to church, then who's going to be there?
Well, that's the truth.
Wow.
I said in the chat room, these pastors better stand up and be real preachers and let these folks go home and spend time with their husband, especially if he's not saved. Because if that woman does not make that man feel important, what's going to happen is somebody else in the street is going to make him be important, and he's going to make sure she go to church. He's going to take her and the car to make sure she stay at home. Mm-hmm. And so if these preachers don't, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians says, let a woman be to her own husband. The pastor is not your husband. If that husband says stay home, here's what I believe, that it would do more honor to God if he sees you being willing to be submit to him by just staying home. The truth is, what is it going to hurt? To stay home, spend time with him, doing something he wants to do. Because with the old saying, you can draw more bees with honey than you can with fire. I don't know.
Vinegar,
anyway,
yes.
There you go, vinegar. And so you would get more results by just staying home. The truth is, maybe what he really wants is your attention. And if he can't express it like that, then he'll say, well, stay home tonight. And believe me, Pastor, I've seen many marriages in the church break up because the pastor said, you be here tonight, and the sisters will obey the pastor over the husband. The truth is, you can't respect your pastor over your husband and expect him to come to that church. He's not coming.
Wow.
Well, I can honestly say I don't attend that kind of church and have that kind of pastor. And I can honestly say that because I remember one time, and my husband's no longer here, but my husband and I were attending that a church. And my husband he left and he went to another church. And I was still going there, And my husband said, I want you to go with me. And pastor taught. He is the priest of the house. Now, if he's saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he truly believed that the Lord has led him someplace else. I am his wife. Even though my heart I may love the church and the people there, and of course the pastor there and all of that, he is my husband, and I truly believe he is saved and walking with the Lord, and he is doing what he believes the Lord has called him to do. Then I am obligated as his wife to go where he is. Now, I believe, after prayer, ask him, honey, let's just pray about this. And we prayed about it, and he said, okay, I want you to come with me and the children. And we did. We went. We were there for a year, 1 year. And you know what? All of a sudden, his interest in there, he wasn't going, and I find myself still, and I said to him, even though I came here because you asked me, now I want to go back to my own church. And I went back. That was 24 years ago. And my husband eventually came there, and he stayed there. He wasn't he didn't attend there any more than he attended the one he wanted to go to. But I did what he wanted to do because he was my husband, and I loved him, and I love the Lord, and I understand what the Word of God means. Now, if you are a husband and take the Word of God and use it as a whip or a noose, or something to, I'm the man of the house, and I'm God's man. You got to do what I say. No, we didn't do it that way. So I think, and all pastors don't teach that. And unless you know that, you perceive that woman is finding something there. Besides the love of God, she's finding friendship and fellowship. Perhaps the husband should take a look at himself and find out, what is it there? Why she would rather be there? Maybe I should go there and start attending and find out what's there that's holding her.
Mm-hmm.
He might find he want to be there too.
Amen. Wow.
Well, you know, in some instances, these issues come up. Because sometimes men marry women that have been saved longer than they have, and they are mature in the Lord. Now, this I've seen. And it takes time.
It does.
And they want to grow faster than time will permit them because they want to be on the same level in maturity as that wife, and that will cause conflict.
Amen. Well, what powerful comments have been made. I know we're not out of talk, but we're definitely out of time.
Praise the Lord.
I cannot extend any longer, but I praise God for all of you, Pastor Larry, Mother Baker, Brother Richard, Sister Erica, all of you, Sister Dana in the chat room, and all of you who have come into the chat room for tuning in. We're going to pick this up next week. Again, as I do the second half of 12 Ways to Get the Right One to Say I Do, and I invite you all to come back on next week so that we can finish out this particular topic. I believe many lives are being changed by the wisdom that's being dispersed during this particular broadcast. So I thank you all for being with me. Amen. And invite you to come back next week. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, goodbye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Enjoy the brothers.
You too. God bless you. God bless you. Well, this has been Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you with Woman to Woman, and all of my guests who called in on today to add to this particular topic. I just thank everybody for listening. Those of you who are listening to the archives, anybody who wants to listen to the archives, you can come to www.blogtalkradio.com/power. And tune in to listen to what has been shared on today. God bless you. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Know that I love you and God loves you also. Jesus loves you also. So go in peace and serve the Lord. Meet me over at Crossroads of Life Bookstore over in Hillside, New Jersey. I'll be signing books over there, my three books that the Lord has blessed me to write. And we will see you next week. Come out on Sunday if you're in the New Jersey area to the Kingdom Church, New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Our service time is 11 o'clock a.m., and we will see you all there, or we will see you next week right here on Woman to Woman and on Blog Talk Radio. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
You're listening to The Sound.